Start.
Should I pull a fucking prank and be anonymous? Like,
you do whatever you want, bro. You do whatever you want.
I'm like, what up, bro?
Yeah, do it. Do what you want, bro.
I'm docs already. Might as well.
I feel you, bro. But all right, let's start. All right. Welcome back to another episode of the FFV Podcast. I hope you're having a great morning, day, or evening. I'm your host, FFV, and today I'm bringing you another creator in the Web3 space. Not only that, but a 10 platinum, 2 Grammy award-winning legend, now building alongside his partner, Chill Pill, to create creators. Welcome, Sydney.
What up? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Sound effects? Let's go.
Oh, gotta do it, man. How you doing, man?
I'm great, man. I'm just got done with all of my meetings for the day, so I'm in like a vibe right now.
Fuck yeah, bro. That's what we love to hear, man. You know, it's perfect for the pod, you know what I mean? Because we like chill stuff here. We're chilling, dude. We're vibing out. You know, we're really just getting to know each other, what's going down, man. But, you know, hey, before we jump into what you're doing in the Web3 space with creators and everything, I got to ask a couple of questions. The first one is pretty straightforward. Where are you from? What were you like growing up, and what's your background look like today?
Damn. All right, so where am I from? I was originally born in New Jersey, moved to Florida, like South Florida area, like when I was young, like 5 or 6, and then grew up in South Florida. I was like a little piece of shit, you know, probably. Like,
hey, I feel you, bro. I used to be one of those dudes too.
Yeah, bro. I was just, you know, I was a troublemaker, man, just... You know, got expelled from a couple schools. Like, you know, I didn't really believe in the school model shit, you know, so.
I can relate, man. I used to be a troublemaker myself, dude. I got the, we had like funny awards in my school, and I got the fucking bad boy award. And it's because I had the most suspensions, I had the most referrals, and all that type of shit, man. It was fucking nuts, man. So I know you know what I mean.
Yes, bro. That's literally was me, man. But it's, you know what it is? One is like, I had like terrible fucking ADD. So like, I just was like, always just like looking around, trying to find some new shit to do. And then two is just like, I was just like, I already knew what I, like by high school, I knew what I wanted to do, which was like music. So like, anything that didn't propel me to do like that, I was just like over it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So I like dropped out in like 10th grade, got some internships at some studios in Miami. And then like the rest is history.
When did you realize that music was your passion? Like, when you just couldn't do anything else and that was it, man. You just, you know, that you were just feeding for that, man. What was that like?
You know, it's funny. In like middle school, high school, I used to do mad graffiti, and I used to like listen to just like music all day. So like, I was like a student of hip hop growing up, and like really a student of like underground rap. I was like into like the, like, you know, Def Jux, you know, Atmosphere, you know, like the, like very like underground backpack rap shit. And then like, you know, also just like graffiti and shit. So like through that, I was either going to be, I either wanted to be an artist or like, you know, a producer. And then I met some dude who like showed me Pro Tools. Cause I was always like, yo, how are these, like, this was before YouTube. Right. So I was like, how are these motherfuckers making this music like that? Like, it, like I didn't have the sauce like to understand how it was happening. And then some dude showed me Pro Tools, and I was like, oh, that's how you make music. And then I was, it was like, all right, cool. That's a clear path. I want to go do that shit.
Damn. No, that's awesome, man. And that's cool that, you know, simple tools. I mean, not so simple, but tools like that, that really like help you propel yourself and just be like, yo, you know, I could actually do something with this, man. That's pretty awesome, man. But hey, final question before we move on and talk everything that you're doing. I always like asking this question, man, because, you know, every single person has a very unique way of approaching this, how they got into it, etc. So let me ask you, how did you first discover crypto, and how did that lead you into discovering NFTs and Web3?
Ooh, I first discovered crypto in 2010. I had like mad Bitcoins. Like, I had thousands of Bitcoins, bro, in 2010.
Damn.
And then like, it was all because of the Silk Road and like the fucking buying drugs on the internet craze. And
dude,
I was like a little...
What was that like, dude? Because like when I tried to do that, I got on the site and I was too chicken shit to fucking do anything, dude.
Bruh, I would... Like, I was just like so like... Because like this was like before I was in Cali. So like weed was still illegal. And I was like a legit like oh fuck, I could buy like, you know, some weed on the internet. And then like, we would have to like drive to the Bitcoin ATM, like in the hood, and then like do like a Western Union transfer, some crazy shit, then go back to the apartment and then like log on to Tor browser. It was like a whole thing, but I felt like I was like, you know, a fucking black hat hacker type shit. Yeah. So I was like, I was all for it, man. I was like, and then like, you know, I used to like order the drugs. I would just order drugs that I didn't even do just to do it. Like just to order it. Like, yeah. I was like, oh shit, cocaine. Yes. Order.
It was much cheaper. Right. Am I correct on there? And then like you could,
it was fine. It was cheaper, but bro, like when you say it was much cheaper then, like, yes, it was cheaper. But in hindsight, I probably spent like a Bitcoin on a fucking gram. Like,
fuck. Yeah, that's a lot.
Sorry, my wife now. Yeah, dude, I had no idea. What I did understand was like, you know, this is like the future. This is like new culture and shit. But like, you know, I was just so, I was into my music shit. I was like, yo, like, I'm just going to get some weed and shit. And then like fast forward, you know, 2017, I was like, damn, like I should have held on to that shit. So then I like bought a bunch of ETH then. And like, nice. That was really when I got into the crypto shit.
Nice, man. That's awesome. And how did that lead you into NFTs? How did you first discover NFTs?
It was through, I mean, it was like crypto, like I was in, like, I saw what was happening with CryptoPunks, but I never like dove into it. Like I've always been like half foot in, half foot out of crypto, you know, like I follow the tech, but since I was like in music, like it was like music was my job and like emerging technology was always my passion and like my hobby. And so like, I would always be like on the forums and like seeing what's going on, but like never dove the fuck in. And then like, I'd say like the pandemic hit and that's when like I really started to dive into the crypto shit. Cause like I started a virtual influencer, artists like in the 2017, 2018 era. And it was just way too early. Like nobody knew what the metaverse was.
Yeah.
But that kind of led me into crypto because like once I got into the NFT scene and like the Web3 scene on Twitter and like started like really diving into that counterculture and that subculture, realized that like, yo, I don't have to explain what a virtual influencer is to like crypto Twitter. Like they already get it. Like they're already talking about the metaverse. Oh, yeah. And so that's when the light bulb hit. I was like, I was like searching to find like a target market, I guess, so to speak, for the virtual influencer in Web2, but it wasn't clicking. And then when like I found Web3, I was like, oh, these people speak my language. Like I don't have to explain anything. They already know this shit. So that's when I dove all in. I like literally, like I have like a company called Defiant, and like it started off as like a talent management, IP management company. But like in 2020, I was like, fuck it, we're converting to all Web3. I like made every employee get a MetaMask. It was like in like over a month. Like every,
damn.
This was still too when like people were like, oh, well, I guess like they're like a lot of like the, you know, a lot of the people who weren't into crypto thought that it was like bad for the environment, and there was so like I had a lot of employees like I had to like convince like, yo, no, this is all good, like don't worry, like. Like I had like a presentation and shit back then where I would like go through, this is how much the banks use in energy, this is how much Bitcoin uses in energy, and like have to like spell it out. But eventually like everybody switched and it was, and like, you know, we've just been going all in on Web3 since then.
Dude, that's awesome, man. That's one thing that this space has taught me, man, is that like a lot of people are just like headline, you know what I mean? Because when I first saw that, the whole news about NFTs is such like a waste of energy and bad for the environment, you know, I was like, oh shit, you know, like am I a part of the problem? But you realize when you start to do your research, you start to realize that there is a far, far worse problem. I mean, like, dude, I hate to say it, dude, but because I game myself, but the gaming industry is huge. It's bad for the environment. No one wants to say any of that, dude, you know what I mean? But it's crazy to see that, like, you know, this headline readers will just jump on something like that, man. Real quick, man, would love to get into like what is Defiant? What is that? That's your company, right? And what do they do now?
So Defiant right now, we're like a team of, I'd say like 14, 15, maybe we just brought somebody on, like, and like it's half Web2 talent management, IP management. So like we sign producers, writers, screenwriters, and we like, you know, help develop them creatively, and then we basically take their IP and we you know, help market it and sell it to, you know, the major studios or the record nice. Labels and stuff like that. And then the other half is the Web3 software development and community development. That's where, like, we're building the infrastructure for Web3 protocols, and then just, like, really helping dial in on, like, the future of community and co-creation.
Damn. No, that's badass, man. I love that, man. So, hey, we're about to dive in deep into creators, man, but take me back to day zero, because we all got to know the history, you know what I mean? How did this idea come to be, and what are the goals that creators is trying to accomplish in the space?
So the idea came, like Defiant throughout the bull run, we worked with a lot of record labels launching NFT projects for, like, artists, and we launched a couple ourselves. We did, like, a ChillRx drop, which was, like, the virtual influencer slash, like, decentralized record label drop. We did a couple drops with Spotty Wi-Fi. We were just you know, in the space, like, figuring it out like everybody else. And the whole idea for creators kind of came when the bull stopped and the bear came in. And I realized that 99% of the community members that I onboarded to these projects in the bull, like they weren't there for the vision and the mission of the projects, right? So, like, you know, ChillRx is a good example where, you know, the mission of that project and the vision of that project is to, like, win a Grammy, a decentralized Grammy, right? Like, with the community. And so, like, throughout the bull run, we would, like, really, like, towards the end of the bull run, we, like, were put out, you know, plugins and we would build software for, like, musicians and like, at the emergence of, like, crypto and music. And then, like, it just wasn't hitting with our community. It's just not what the community was asking for. It's not what they wanted. They, like, you know, at the core were traders trying to flip NFTs. And so, like, I realized, like, that I could do one of two things, right? One is I could start building products for traders, right? Like, and just, like, cater to the community that we had. But at the end of the day, like, that community, like, wasn't paying attention anymore, right? And, like, the Discord was dead. You know, the Twitter was dead. Like, everybody had just moved on into like their preferred bags, so to speak, right? And I was like, look, like, the one thing that I do think is still successful, and the one thing that I do think, like, is the future of this space, is building community around a mission and a vision and sticking to that, right? Sticking to that shit and, like, seeing it all the way through. So I made the decision to continue building that project, specifically, like, the ChillRx project, putting out, you know, music plugins, putting out, like, you know, building for musicians, right? And, like, the community that's still there, like, is getting a lot of value out of it. But moving forward, I was like, yo, we need to expand to, like, bigger creatives, right? Like, the musicians that are in this community are getting a lot of value from the music stuff. But if somebody wants to put out an album, they also need photographer. They also need writers. They also need marketers. Like, there's, like, a whole era of new creatives that are being formed in Web3, that skill sets go, like, above and beyond, like, Web2 people. I feel like Web3, they just have a different approach to the how, like, just, like, how they treat the Web3 culture, right? It's like you kind of have to be in it to understand how Web3 works. And so I made the decision, like, look, like, I know what I want to do, and I know where Defiant strengths are. And that is helping creators. Like, at its core, like, our mission from Defiant and from, you know, all the projects that I ever worked on and every artist that I worked with and everything was always just, like, how can I empower creators, right? And so we started Creators, the project, with that kind of, like, ethos in mind, right? We didn't know it was going to be a PFP. We didn't know it was going to be a protocol. We didn't know what the fuck it was going to be. All I knew going into it was, our mission is to empower creators, and our vision is that over the next 10 years, Web3 creators specifically will 10x. There's going to be an influx of new Web3 creators, and we want to be the one community that's really, really supportive of them. And then from there, we just started Twitter Spaces, man. We just, like, started, like, talking to other creators on Twitter Spaces and saying, like, you know, what do you guys want us to build? Like, what are your problems? What are your strengths? What are your really learning, like, from the perspective of a Web3 creator, like, what matters, and what are the problems? And that was just, like, a 12-month span of just, like, figuring out community market fit. and like what the community cared about, even before like we like had any identity, even before we were called creators. It was just like market research. What are the biggest problems for creators? And then like slow and steady, we started to develop this identity of, you know, the creator narrative, and more people started to join the Twitter spaces, like, and they were joining because they believed in the mission, not to flip an NFT, not to profit. They were just strictly joining to have a conversation about what the future of creativity looks like. And like, that's when I was like, oh, we have something here. Like, this is super special. And it has nothing to do with NFTs. It just has to do with like Web3 culture.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of how it started. And then it just snowballed into what it is now.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And good on you, man, for keeping it going, man. Because, you know, I know for a fact, you know, and I know that a lot of people that experience, you know, the same things that you experience with creating a project, a Web3 project, is that they just give up. They give up, they leave, they stop tweeting, they just stop. You know what I mean? And then that's all about it, man. But I also want to go back to, like, you know, go when you were kind of saying that you wanted to help content creators, and that's what it's all about. And I love that. I think it's super important because I think we've talked about this before, man. You know, there's a lot of content creators outside of Web3 that would absolutely just fucking body all of us. You know, not all of us, but at least most of us. You know what I mean? And I think that it's very, very important to for these content creators here in Web3 to start sharpening those skills, because if we believe that this space is inevitable, all those content creators are going to come and they're going to wipe the floor. And I just don't want to see the valuable information from being here early on get, you know, drowned out or clouded out because they didn't, you know, keep up with the content creation skills. And I know that's going to happen to some, but I'm just glad that, you know, you guys are here to help content creators up their game, up their level, and really get themselves out there, man. It's a beautiful thing, man. But yeah, man, just next question, man. I absolutely love that all the features, you know, that that this whole thing is just about content creators, really elevating them, and musicians and everything. You know, I mean, it's a great thing. But I want to dig in so deep in that, no pun intended. exactly how the creators of the platform, of the holders, really up their level with your platform? How will they get better? How will they be sharpening the skills as a holder of the creators NFT?
Great question. So I kind of think about problem solving in a couple different buckets. One is the community bucket, which is networking, resources, education. Two is the product bucket, software, you know, whether it be blockchain, Web3 based, or even just AI software, just like tools. And then the third is kind of like this, I guess the best way to put it is like Web2 education, or like IP management at its core, and how I do it in Web2, right? So like, it's those kind of three buckets that I think about. And the first bucket that I'm most excited about, just from like a strictly easy to grasp concept, is this idea that like in the community, there seems to be two types of creators. There's the creators that have a platform like yourself, and then there's the creators that need a platform or are still trying to create one. I jumped on with you like early on. I was like, you know, what's your problems? And, you know, the creators like that are in your position who already have a platform, who are building like, and like have like their footing on like what they're building already, their biggest problem is scaling. How do I scale what I'm doing currently? And for the creators that are up and coming, their problem is, how do I get exposure and education? Like, and how do I build my network to start something, right? And so like those two buckets, like in my head, work perfectly together. And so I've been starting to play around with this idea of like mentor, mentee, you know, curating like a system where if, you know, you're growing your podcast, I have three really smart kids who like want to do podcasts in the community, and they're willing to help you work on it for exposure and education on like what you've already built. Right. And so like it kind of helps both buckets, where you get, you know, help scaling your podcast, they get education and exposure, and it's a win-win situation. And it's just like a highly curated, almost like mentor mentee, or even like internship, like relationship. Right. I think that that's like a huge value prop for all parties involved. And the reason why I think it's so huge is because like, that's how I started my career. I like point blank, I wouldn't be where I am today without like interning and without like putting myself in positions to learn and immerse myself with like people that knew more than me in the space. Right. And so like, you know, when I started, I was like getting coffee at a music studio, and just luckily, like it was like at the same studio with Wayne and Drake and everybody, and like learned, like, you know, how to navigate that world. But it like if I wasn't willing to put myself in that position to learn, I would have never had the opportunities presented to me. And so like, if I can present those same opportunities to up and coming Web3 creators, and at the same time help you scale your podcast, like it's like a no-brainer utility to me. Like, right, like software and like services and parties aside, like that alone, like is like, if we curate the right people together, it's a win-win-win. So like that's like initially like kind of like where my head's at. And then like, you know, we've been playing around with like a lot of protocols. We've been playing around with like a lot of AI tooling. We've been playing around with a lot of like of new token standards. So there's a lot of technology like that is going on behind the scenes, but I don't want to bore you with like the technicalities of
oh no, dude, that's what, that's what we're here, man. You know, I got to dig into deep into those things, man. Cause it's, I think, you know, for podcasting, it's very important, for people to actually listen, to dig deep into all these tools and everything that's going on, because I feel like that's what people come for. You know what I mean? On Spaces, on Twitter Spaces, it's kind of quicker. You know what I mean? Quick information, what's about, mint date, you know, et cetera, those things, you know what I mean? But people that just want to listen to what's actually going on behind the scenes, what the tools, how the tools will help you, not just saying, hey, we have, you know, tools to help you, you know, explaining like what the tools is, it's a very valuable thing, man. But yeah, man, if you want to get into it, man, would love to, man. So how do these tools work? Like, what kind of tools are they? You mentioned AI and other protocols. How does that, because, you know, for me, I'm very interested. I'm in your community, dude. I definitely want to know, how do these tools, what are these tools, and how would they help me and other content creators?
So at its core, the project, from a token perspective, I'm taking the approach is like the NFTs and the collection are more than just JPEGs. And I'm really trying to build a tech stack underneath the token, which is represented by the JPEG. And some of the things that we've been implementing is artificially intelligent generating IP tokens, right? So basically, like, how can I explain it? Like, imagine you mint a creator, right? And you mint a musician. So now you have this musician creator PFP, and every month the PFP auto-generates you a new sound, right? It might be like a drum loop, it might be a guitar loop, but it just automatically through AI generates you IP in perpetuity or forever. So as a creator, you're automatically collecting a catalog of IP, right? And that's the most valuable thing from a creative standpoint that you can do for your own career, right? Is just develop IP and brand that works for you. So we're going to use this AI tools, and all of our tokens are 6551. So like they're all like smart wallets as well, where they just basically hold all of this IP inside of it and auto-generate. And then
that's from there, fast, man. I don't think anybody's ever done something like this.
Not that I'm aware of. Yeah, and like for me, like that was half the battle, right? It's like, how do I auto enable my holders to just generate IP like forever, right? Like And in that sense, if you think about it, right, like today, like your creator might generate like an 8-bar drum loop for you, right? Like that's like that technology exists. That's what we're building. In the future, 20 years from now, 10 years from now, like it might make you a hit song. Like, you know, as AI gets better, like so does the IP that your creator generates. So like you might just luck up and just be sitting on like a best-selling novel like one day, you know, and like that's going to happen, right? Like let's be real, like there will be a Oscar winning picture that was fully AI generated. Who knows how long away that is, but it's going to happen. Yeah. So like enabling the holders of the NFTs to participate in like the growth of AI, like, and keeping it on chain, like I think is really, really important. Right. So yeah, that's like one aspect of the project. The other is like, how do we take that IP and how do we help you monetize it? And so like, there's a couple different ways we've been thinking about that. Like one is we built a protocol where you can merge traits together. So like if you have a drum loop and I have a guitar loop, we can seek each other out, merge them together. We both mint a 1155 token of like that new unique piece of IP. And now we have like a beat that we can take to sell to Drake, or we can go put it in an Apple commercial.
That's insane. That's fucking insane, dude. It's like a collaborative thing with the whole entire network of community members that you have. That's fucking badass. Go on, man. I just wanted to say that.
No, I appreciate it. I mean, like it's interesting because like it takes a long, like, every time I talk about the concept, it's like hard to like wrap your head around. And like, but I think like we've tested the concept, right? So like we've airdropped holders, like you know, loops. We've like tested the protocol. We have it working. Everything's all dope. And what ended up happening was one of our community members had a drum loop. One of them had like the synth loop. They put it together using the protocol. They created this like new beat. And then I took it and I got an artist on it, like a big TikTok kid on it. And I licensed it to Sony Music. And then like Sony paid like 20 racks, $20,000 for it. And like, that's like a normal licensing fee that we get. So then I'm able to take that licensing fee and distribute it back to the owners of the sounds, right? So like those two community members got paid from that. And then Sony takes it. And now since it's licensed to them, like it's in their best interest to market it, right? They own, they've licensed the IP. So they go and like market the shit out of it. I think right now the song is at like 8 million, 7 or 8 million streams, right? Which like, if you do like the math, it ends up being like it's about $4,000 every million streams. So like it's probably a $20,000 to $25,000 generated on like Web2 royalties of just song streams alone. So like if you think about like what AI, IP, and the Web3 protocol did for the community members that participated was they worked together. They made it like a dope ass song. They had a good time doing it. Then they got paid a licensing fee, probably I'd say like $8,000 each. Then they got paid like probably right now, I'd say like $4,000 to $5,000 each on just royalties alone, right? So like in my head, I'm like, look, like that's the value being added drastically outweighs you flipping this NFT. Like, right? And like, and so like, I'm just super excited because like one, we proved the concept already. We already did this shit. It's not even like, you know, a dream, right? Like the shit is actually out. The song's already out. And now it's like, all I have to do now is curate the right community in order to scale it. Right. And like, if I can, we've done, right. Like we've been onboarding like the best creators in the space, people that care about IP. Like we're like really curating the top community members to participate in like this ecosystem of like collaborative building. And I foresee this ending up being like way bigger than just music, right? Like imagine if like you got dropped a word like and I got dropped a word like tree, right? And like then there's like, you know, 10,000 other words out there and the community can work together to create a story. Now we have a book. Now we can go license the book. Like, so like, it's just all of these different elements of like, how do we collaboratively work together to create new IP and then just let Defiant go do its thing, right? And I'm so like, I think it's a new way of operating. And I think that like the bear market in its current state is the perfect opportunity to do it because everybody is that's here is here for the tech and the culture, right? Like everybody who was just here for the cash, like they've left. So
yeah,
it's the perfect opportunity to start like building like these like new ways of IP generation, IP creation, community collaboration. It's I'm excited as fuck.
Dude, that's fucking amazing, dude. And this is why like I like podcasting, man, because you know you really get to dig in deep. That all that stuff I had no idea really about, and I doubt most people don't, because you know, a lot of people don't do DYOR as we like to admit. But dude, that's insane. That's an innovation right there. I mean, that's when you were telling me all this, I was basically thinking that's like having shares within a popular book or a popular song, you know what I mean? And then getting royalties back. You know, that's insane,
it's,
man.
That's exactly what it is. The difference is we hacked the system because of the collaboration protocol, it immediately makes you a songwriter because you're putting those two things together. So you're contributing to the copyright, like, which is, that's the whole SEC's issue is like, are you buying just to speculate and get royalties? Yeah. Or are you like buying and now like in order to get the royalties, you got to put the shit together. But the opportunity like is huge. So like it makes this whole, it reminds me of like you remember like loot back in the day when like this shit popped the fuck off when everybody like was just getting like five words. Like were you around back then? Like it was like this like crazy, crazy idea of just like aired like these NFTs were just words, like five, I think it was five words, like, and the community just started building like off of these five words and making games and making like, you know, like all of this shit around like just these five words. And I was like, yo, this is incredible. But like, if all of the things that they were creating was also on chain, it would add so much more value because then they would easily be able to sell it. And I think that's the key.
Is that the project where it had, I don't know if this is the one, but it had random words as the picture, right? And it was like some kind of black yep. screen or something. Yeah, yep. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was very skeptical, man, because I didn't understand it. That's the only reason, though. It's because I didn't understand it. I didn't know what the fuck words were going to be valued. Because when I think about it, what I thought about is, like, how the fuck are these words going to be valuable to me? I didn't think about how are these words going to be valuable for a co-creation or some kind of collaborative thing, man. Now, and it's a different approach going into it, man, which is insane, man. I just love the innovation, man. Especially going back to like you guys teaching your holders and your community members about Web2, IP education, and other things like that. I think it's so important, man, because... let's be honest, man. Most of us here don't know the legalities. You know what I'm trying to say. The legal stuff, yeah, that comes with it. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, man. I don't know really all of it either. You know what I mean? So this would be a huge fucking help for me. And
it took me so long. It took me so long to learn how the music industry, like publishing and master royalties and all that shit work. Like, I still probably like don't know how it works. You know what I'm saying? Like. But no, yeah, I can't even imagine it like going. And it's funny because like IP is such a hot topic. It's such a hot topic in Web3. So like, it's funny. I was talking to Warner Music about this because like they wanted to do a project with us. And I was a lot of people don't like, it's funny because actually like you were talking about like Web2 coming in and sweeping the floor. Right. And like being like, yo, like these Web3 creators like don't know how to make good content. Right. And like. Just like completely owning it when they realize it. But exactly. I like understand where you're coming from, but I also feel like what they're missing is the understanding of how this shit works culturally.
Yeah.
And you saw all of that like in the bull when like, you know, a rapper would come in and drop a fucking project and like wouldn't even understand like what half of the lingo was with like, you know what I'm saying? And like
Pepsi and all of that, Wagme and all this shit. Like, bro, get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. So I feel as though like the education portion of this is like, it goes both ways, right? It's like Web2 needs to be educated on how the fuck Web3 operates, how we're thinking and why. I always say this. I apologize if you heard me spiel this in a Twitter space or something, but
you're good.
Anytime I talk about Web3 to like an artist that I'm working with in Web2 or a record label or a studio or whatever it is, I always say, like, imagine Web3 as its own genre of music, right? And, like, think of it like if Taylor Swift is going to go release a hip-hop song tomorrow, we'd all laugh in her face, yeah. right? We'd be like, yo, what the fuck are you doing dropping a fucking rap song, right? Now, if she even wants to stand a chance of diving into, like, a new genre, she has to go understand hip-hop culture. She has to go walk in the shoes of the greats. She has to understand, why does hip-hop even start? She has to dive in and spend the time educating herself on the reasonings behind the cultural revolution. And it's the same exact thing in Web3, right? Like, you can sniff out somebody who, like, has no idea what they're doing here from a mile away. Easy. And yeah, right? And I think that's the leg up of a lot of Web3 creators right now, is like, they may not understand, like, you know, technically what can go viral on TikTok, right? But yeah. they understand authenticity in the space. And so, like, I think that there's a lot to learn from each other. And, like, same thing when it comes to, like, you know, these big brands coming in. Like, you know, the big brands are going to come in. Like, a lot of them have already come in. But it's really about, like I was just talking to Shane about this. I think you met her. She's, like, our head of biz dev. Like, she just met with, yeah. like, Aftermath Studios. And, like, we've been talking to them. And, like, luckily, like, the whole conversation was, like, how do we come in, like, authentically, right? Like, how do we come in and understand, like what, why? And, like, so, like, you know, when you have companies coming in like that, like, and, like, these big dogs coming into Web3, and but they're coming in authentically, it's just going to be amazing for the space.
Oh, yeah, dude, 1,000%. And it's important for them to come authentically, man, and, like, really understand the culture, because, you know, I've as you know, we've seen a lot of, you know, big brands try to come into Web3 and really try to do their own thing. And, you know, I don't think there's any bad intentions or, you know, anything like that. I just think they don't read the room, right? You know, they don't know how to engage with the community members. And it's almost cringe. You know what I mean? And it's like, ah, dude, like, fuck. Like, come on, man. You know, pay one person to understand Web3 culture and things like that, and you'll do so much better, dude. But yeah, man, I also got to say, man, like, what you guys are doing is so important, and because it's so much harder to learn by yourself. You know what I mean? When you're learning by yourself, you have to go through so much more trials and errors than if you're learning together, because all the experience that you guys have will help each other. I know for a fact that I've had tons of help creating content, setting up this room, you know, everything that you see that I've done, dude, I've always had help from somebody, you know what I mean? It's a great thing for you guys to do this, because it's going to be even more people collaborating and helping each other out, man. So yeah, man, just kudos to you, man. But I wanted to take a break, man, on the technicals, man. Let's talk about the dope art that's about to be dropped, man. I wanted to bring up the actual website to it. Give me a second.
Yeah. Let's go.
Oh yeah, dude. I mean, like, we have to show it off, man.
Bro. The art's crazy. I mean, look at that. It took a long time coming. But
that is fucking insane, bro. It pops out. There's nothing like that out there. You know what I mean? It's definitely gonna stand out. Like I said, nothing out there. I love the colors, man. I love the color schemes. It's, dude, and it's so funny that you said this, because I got, like, hip-hop vibes, graffiti vibes, and I relate to it, because we've talked about it earlier. I used to be, like, some trouble-ass making kid, you know what I mean? And all that stuff, it hits home for me, you know what I mean? So it's super cool to see, man. But would love your take on why'd you guys go this route, and why'd you guys go with these colors and this kind of genre, you know what I mean?
If you go to creators.com/premint, you'll see, like, the PFPs. Like, we have some of them, like, some of, like, the sneak peeks there. But, like, okay, so, like, let me tell you the story about how we even came up with this shit, right? Because, like I said, like, we didn't know this was going to be a PFP project, bro. Like, we really didn't. And
really?
Yeah, no, like, we came into this shit, and, like, man, the entire lore, the entire art, all of the shit came from community. Like, we were on Twitter Spaces. You can probably go back and listen. Like, one day somebody was like, I think it was either Blue or Angelique, like, one of our community members was, like, on a space being like, yo, what if, like, all the characters lived in this black and white city, and like they were the only ones with color. And we were like, whoa, that's a fucking crazy branding. Like, I've never seen a project with a black, like, oh, like everything's black and white. And like, and then somebody else was like, yo, what if the black and white represents web 2 and the color represents web 3? And we were like, whoa, what the fuck? And like literally, bro, like the entire, all the art, all like the lore, the narrative, like, so the lore basically behind this, right, is like, excuse me.
Oh, you're good, bro.
The lore is basically like, you know, there's this black and white city, right? And it's taken over by this like corporation called Everything Corp. And like they turned the entire like city black and white. And then one day, like these creators, they come and like they like find that like Everything Corp has been like stealing their like creative DNA and like hiding it from them. So they go and like rebel, take it back, and then start like changing the kids in the city like back into like colored creators, right? And so like it's this entire narrative of around like, you know, like, you know, rebelling against like the mundane, rebelling against like the bullshit, and like just being like true to yourself. And like literally, like when I was going through the art, like me and my creative director, Artemis, she was like we need to find a character that like embodies like this ethos, but also like hasn't been done before. So like we literally were going back and forth, and we had like 1,000 mood boards, and we realized that like 5 or 6 of the characters that we had on the mood board over and over and over again all looked very similar. We were like, yo, who is this? We found out like this, the artist was the Hat Kid, like, and he's like this crazy like graffiti artist in Spain. So we reached out to him, and he was like, yeah, I'm down to do this shit. So like we got him on board as an artist, like with Artemis, like she was helping, like, you know, creative directed and like created like this, like basically like this entire world where like these characters live in this black and white city, and they're just like rebelling against like, you know, like the Everything Corp and the institutions. I think it's the firest part, bro, is that like, because these are all 655 ones,
yeah,
that like we're able to like play around with traits, right? Like, so you can swap traits without having to swap your NFT, right?
Oh,
so
if I want to like, really?
Yeah, bro. So if I want like a different hat, I can seek out another community member and be like, yo, can we swap hats? Like if I want to like trade, like it's just like everything's easy because it's 655s.
Nice. Oh, that's going to be dope, man. It's really popping off too. You know what I mean? Cause, customizable NFTs are going to be, I think they're going to be fucking huge later, definitely down the future, because, you know, when you play a video game, you know what I mean? What do we like spend like a lot of time on is the customizing of our avatar. You know what I mean? What we're going to look like. We're so detailed about it. We're so admin. If you're a gamer, you know what I mean? You're really about it, you know, but, that's super cool, man. I actually didn't know that you were able to swap out traits like that. Also, dude, the narrative of the whole story, it's so fucking dope, bro. I mean, like, I can definitely relate to it. I've always been a rebel at heart, always going against the majority of people, man. Damn, I was gonna go somewhere with that, but I completely. Oh yeah, man. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. So the whole narrative, it gets me so excited. It gets people excited to root for these people. You know what I mean? To root for them. To have a bad guy to be like, yo, fuck you and fuck this. But also just having a story. You know what I mean? People get very interested in a great story, man. And not gonna lie, man. You know, I've heard some stories out there. Some like. Things that the other people have tried, it's pretty boring. You know what I mean? It's nothing. Yeah, you know, it's just pretty boring, bruh. Kind of vanilla. I can definitely tell you the ending of the story to most of these stories. You know what I mean? This one, I really love, man, because you guys can go literally anywhere with the story, and I'm excited, man. It's gonna be dope.
It's gonna be fire, bro. Like you know, like I foresee the brand becoming something way bigger than just PFPs, obviously. Like with my history with like virtual influencers and like the fact that we have 8 different like creative factions, like, you know, means
yeah,
we can have like 8.
What's that about, man? I would love to get into that, because I saw that earlier and I was like, oh, damn, they have factions, kind of different tiers or just different fractions.
So our allow list is a personality test, and it's from the perspective of Everything Corp, the evil factory that is basically trying to put you in your job in the factory. So you take this personality test and it tells you like you're either like you know, a line worker, or you're like a manager, or you're like whatever, whatever, right? And what's crazy about it is once you get accepted, and your allow list application gets accepted, we swap your results to like your true creative DNA. And the way we created the personality test is that like, if you're supposed to get a musician, you get a musician. Like if you're a director, you get a director. Like I've had people like hit me up like, yo, I don't know how they knew I was a photographer, but I got photographer. like, and it's super fire because it's automatically like putting like, you know, like it's allowing me and the rest of the team to understand like, okay, cool. We have like X amount of photographers in the community. We have X amount of musicians. And even if you're not a quote unquote musician, the way we like kind of set it up is like, you still fucks with music. Like if you get musician, like you're like, you know, you're going to have fun with like a lot of like the utility that we put out with the, for your faction. Right. And it just like, it's just creating these like fun little initiatives that I think like got lost in the sauce of the bull. And like now it like, it's like I remember when Bored Apes came out with the treasure hunt. And I remember being so fucking excited about it. And like the community all got like behind it. And it was like these little things that like that they would do that was like so special and like community bonding and like,
yeah,
like, you know, and like, so I feel like a lot of that gets lost nowadays. And like, you know, I'll give straight the fuck up. Like not a lot of people know about our lore. And like a lot of people ask like, why is our personality test and allow list like, what is Everything Corp, right? And like we have to explain like all the lore, like, right? But I think that like all those little details and all those little moments like added up, it create an incredible world, and it creates an incredible narrative of like, oh, this is something that is like bigger than just a JPEG, right? And it's more fun, and it's like the more that I can like I'm always trying to one up myself. I'm always trying to one up every project out there. And so like, you know, it, my engineers hate me for it. And like my ops team hates me for it because every single time we like have like a set path, I'm always like, all right, cool. But like, what if we add this little feature? Right. And like, but I truly feel that like, those are the things that set the projects apart. Those are the things that like make it special, you know?
I agree, man. And I think that's super smart, man, to like really take the quiz and set you with the group that you are meant to be, kind of a way to, for people to come together and really collaborate with each other, like-minded individuals. You know what I mean? Everybody loves NFTs in the space, Web3 technology, but not necessarily everybody's into the same things. You know what I mean? Which is, it's a great, smart idea. And even that, man, once you guys all get together, the same musicians, the same, beat makers or whatever it may be, man, then we can all collaborate together within that. Yeah, man, it's going to be curated pretty well is what I'm hearing, man. So going back to like all the mint stuff, man, I got to ask, why invite only? And for those that don't know basically what it means, it means you have to be invited to mint, you know, and then basically you can purchase the NFT. But anyways, yeah, why invite only? And what is that criteria for someone to be accepted?
It's a great question. So invite only is because I truly believe that, you know, the project in itself is going to win when the entire community is aligned on the same mission, vision, and values.
Great.
And I think that 99% of projects are not aligned with their holders on the mission, vision, and values. Or they fake themselves out. They fake themselves out and pretend like they're like innovating with the metaversal experiences, blah, 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 blah. Like, let's be fucking real. Like nobody knows when the metaverse thing is going to fucking happen. Nobody knows when Underside is going to pop the fuck off. Nobody knows even like what the next 3 months are going to look like in Web3. Right. But I think at the end of the day, when you can curate, It's very similar. Like I come from the startup world, right? So like, it's very similar to the startup world where like, if you can find that product market fit and really solve a problem for your core customers, you can iterate off of that and it becomes something that everybody can love. Right. And I feel it's the very same thing for community market fit, where if the community is aligned with the mission and vision and they all share the same mission, vision, and values, then like the expectations for when we drop shit, and you know the events that we throw, and the Twitter spaces that we host and everything that we do will be aligned. And like, it's a lot less chance of somebody being like, yo, but what's the utility here? Yeah. Like, or like, yo, well, yeah, but like, when are the devs doing? It's like, why is the floor going down? At like I'm in this shit for the long haul. Like, and I think that, you know, the true value of this project and the brand and all the holders attached, like, it's going to take a little bit of time to build an IP catalog. It's going to be a little bit of time to educate on how IP works. It's going to be some time to like even let other communities play with the protocol, right? So all of this takes time. So that's why when we were like doing like invite only, it's like the criteria is literally like you take the personality test, you answer some questions about like, why do you want to be a creator? You know, you answer some questions about like, you know, what type of bird would you be? Like, you know, like crazy questions, but it like it allows me to see like how much time are you willing to spend? Like, yeah. Like onboarding and like diving into the narrative of this project. Two is like how much of a perspective do you have on creativity and like creators in general? And then like straight up, like I'll look at all, like it's literally, I'm going through every person and it's me and like a couple other team members that are doing this. We'll go through, we'll like, oh, checks all the boxes for like all the answers. Dope, dope, dope. They're dope people. Then we go on their Twitter and we like see like, what are they retweeting? What are they vibing with? Like, are they active? Are they not? Like, what's their vibe? Yeah. Then we go check their wallets out and we're like, yo, what's going on in their wallets? And like, if I feel like it's somebody who I could like fucks with, like, or it's somebody who I feel like I could debate with, like, those are the two main criterias, right? And like, it's me and like a couple other people that are curating. So it's not just like only people that I fucks with, but like,
yeah,
you know, Artemis, my creative director, Katie, Michael, Chillpill, like everybody's kind of like curating this like group of people that like at the end of the day, yo, like if we all like went out and grabbed drinks, we'd all have a fucking blast.
Oh yeah, man. That's important to me too, man. Cause, you know, you just don't want to have some oddballs in there, you know what I mean? That have nothing really aligned with the vision or what's going on, anything like that. Excuse me. And I'm glad you explained that, man, because, you know, the whole, you know, I saw back then when the whole kind of like the D-Gods with the Utes did this kind of similar thing. I thought it was super cool, you know what I mean? For a person like, you know, me that has, you know, somewhat of a platform, of a little bit of a following, it's much easier for me to get into those kind of things. You know what I mean? I saw a lot of people out there really, really get upset because they didn't feel like they were a part of the cool kids club or whatever it may be along those lines. But, you know, your story, it's much different than that. It's actually for a purpose, and it's a very good purpose and a very tactical reason, which is very good, man. I'm just glad that you explained that because I don't want people out there thinking that, you know, you didn't accept them because they didn't have a certain amount of followers or a certain amount of engagement or things like that. That's what people kind of feel at the same time. But yeah, man, like I said, I'm glad I asked, man.
I appreciate you asking that. Yeah, like, no, it literally has nothing to do with followers. It all has to do with like, are you a dope creator at the end of the fucking day? And like, when I say creator, I don't just mean musicians or writers or artists. Like collectors are creators too. They're creating a collection. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, it's really a mentality, right? It's a mentality of like, are you creating? Are you a creator at heart? Are you building something of substance? Like every day, are you building like the if I had to like put the criteria in one sentence, it's like, do you build something out of nothing? If yes, mm-hmm. Let's go.
Yep. I fucking love that, man. So, man, I wanted to, get into this soft stake end that I read. What is soft staking? What are the benefits that creators gain from it? And how does that all work?
So interesting. So like it's very similar to like the Moonbirds nesting where like, you know, you're staking, but you keep the NFT. You don't have to like let it leave your wallet. We're calling it training. And one of the benefits that you get when you soft stake like a creator or train a creator is AI training. So Ooh. Basically like the longer you're staking, the more IP you'll be able to generate. Right. And like the faster that you'll generate it.
So, I see. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, and it's funny too, cause like the first protocol we have coming out is Music Game. And after that, like, it'll probably be a writing thing. I'm still debating on which one to drop next. But like all of it is going to be predicated on like one, like how long has this person been training their AI? Like to, in order to, how many samples are you generating? How much IP are you getting from for this next drop?
Damn, that's fucking insane, man. And like I keep saying, man, it's just so cool that like we get to do this and really dig deep into it, man, because I hardly doubt people know that this is even going on. You know what I mean? That you're going to get a real education about the new technologies. Basically, you're setting up all your holds for success, man, in the future. If you keep holding, obviously. Man. But nah, man, that's amazing, man. You know, a few more questions, my guy, and I'll let you go. I know you, everyone and the team must be really busy. But tell me about this renewal aspect of it. Why did you guys decide to take this route? And how much is it? How much is the renewal? And what happens if you don't?
Great, great question. So we have been playing around with this idea of an annual membership. And the reason why is obviously most Web3 NFT projects and specifically like end up running out of fucking money, right?
Yeah.
And then like, you know, it's just like this disalignment between like, you know, what the community is asking for, how much like is in reserves and XYZ. So what we wanted to do is set up a way where like, we reward long-term holders, but we're also allow ourselves to be sustainable. And so what we did is we went out to set up like a subscription model where like, you know, you mint your NFT, first year is paid by Mint, right? And then annually you need to renew your membership for $99. Like it might be 99, it might be 89, it might be 29. We're still figuring all that portion out, but it's an annual fee renewal. And we've been playing with this idea. It's not solidified yet, but the idea is if you don't renew, then the NFTs in your wallet get burned.
Ooh.
Right. And like, so it's funny because like, I'll say this out loud to some people. I've been like literally talking to everybody about it. Like, what do you think? What do you not think? And half of the reactions are like, oh, that's fire as fuck. There's going to be an annual supply shock. Like, and it's only 99 bucks. Like, yeah. Hell yeah.
Nice.
The other half is like, hell no, don't fucking burn my NFTs. I paid for them. So there's like this like very split difference. So what we decided and what's really interesting, this is kind of how we came up with 721H, the token standard that we're dropping, is my dev was like, yo, well, what if we figure out a way where like we can like change the subscription, you know, it let the community decide and then change the subscription as like time progresses, allowing us to like, look, if you're a holder, you can choose like to burn it or not. And then like the majority wins, right? So like, you know, it's not up to like the internal team whether these NFTs are going to get burned, but like the entire community can decide what to do if when the subscriptions are up, right? And so I think like there's like the way that I'm kind of looking at this project and specifically like the 721H token standard that we're dropping is like, 721H like introduces hooks into the smart contract. And it's a way where you can basically be flexible and malleable, grabbing onto different smart contracts and bringing them in. So like I can grab onto like you know, the best way is like I could grab onto a subscription contract. I can grab onto a royalty contract. I can bring them in. And it's like, how can I put it? Like, it's like apps for your NFT, right? Like it's like basically building blocks on top of like your contract. And like this works at the collection level, but it also works at the token level. And so the reason why we set this shit up and the aha moment that we had was like, yo, this is like a really interesting way to allow the collection to be as malleable as a startup needs to be, right? Because when you're a startup, you need to like move left, move right. Who the fuck knows what's going to happen? And a lot of like the old standards, or at least a lot of the standards that like the majority of NFT collections are built on, like are not malleable, right? Like it's like the 721, like typical standard, like everybody's used to it. And like, if you want to like change something in this, in the contract, you need to like merge everybody to a new one. And it's like this whole fucking thing. And like, for me, it's like at our core and our North Star is like, what can we build that's going to make the project and the creators in the project like have the most creative flexibility and freedom. So we decided to go with this 721H. I think it's going to be a fucking game changer. I think it's going to be an absolute, like, I was talking to Junior about this on a space, and he was like, because technically you can trigger like a IoT item or applications with it, right? But meaning like you can like trigger like your smart washer and dryer. Like,
oh shit.
So like you could technically make like a contract that like allows your JPEG to like dry your clothes for you. Right. But like that's like kind of like the crazy part about like this building block of smart applications on top of your JPEGs and on top of the collection. It shit is about to get fucking wild. I'm just like,
you guys are innovating, man. I'm excited for your future, man. I got to send later on after the pod, man. I got to send you this video I saw, man. It was funny. It was like last year, and it was, I don't know if you saw it. It was this fucking, car share, app. I don't know if it's still going on or anything like that, but what basically it's like a car sharing, ride app, right? You like, you know, it's kind of like an Uber, but no one picks you up. You just go get the car. You know what I mean?
Fire.
Yeah. So like the way he unlocked it was signing a message on the Ethereum blockchain and it unlocked. Yeah. It was
hard. Fucking,
yeah. I'll have to send that to you later, man.
But send it.
Going back to it, man, I think that the whole renewal thing is smart because, you know, not a lot of people, when they start their NFT projects, know how to make money outside of Web3. You know what I mean? And then, like you said, they're going to die. You know what I mean? Eventually to run out of funds and everyone's fucked. You know what I mean? And I think that, in my opinion, you know, everyone has opinions that the value that you guys are bringing is way more than $95. You know what I mean? And I think that the way you guys, way more, given all the tools and all the education that you guys are bringing, I think it's definitely worth the renewal. It's like basically getting the education of for the future of the future.
You know what I mean? Dude, I appreciate it. Yeah. It's funny, too, because I get like, when we were talking about it, like if anything, what it does is like force us to prove our value in 1 year. Right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
At the end of the fucking day, like it kind of puts like the fire under our ass to be like, all right, we at least got to show that we're like, you know, valuable enough for an annual renewal. Right. Like,
yeah.
Or else nobody's going to fucking renew. So like, I also I'm really interested in like, cause like, it's crazy too. Like one, like what you'll be able to like an ENS, like you'll be able to like, you know, buy multiple years in advance. So like if you are a collector that wants to just like sit and chill, like you'll be able to like, you know, buy a couple in advance and not have to worry. But like it creates this mechanism where like a lot of the projects right now, like at least like in my bags, right? Like I haven't checked on them in a long time. Right. Like,
yeah,
I have
yeah.
a lot of bags that I probably haven't been on their Twitter and I haven't checked out the Discord. And so like what this also does is kind of force at least once a year, like come check on us and do a deep dive and see if like if you want to stay on or not. Like just like it's like an annual reminder that we exist and like, yo, like we're building some fire fucking shit.
No, that's good, man. It definitely brings back attention. And it damn, dude, I don't know why my video keeps freezing, dude, but it keeps bringing back the attention that we need, you know what I mean? Because as you know, Web3 motherfuckers have shortest attention span. We're on one thing one day and then 4 hours later we're on to the next, you know what I mean?
Yep.
It doesn't even have to be fucking 24 hours, man.
Yeah.
All right, man, real quick, man, I know I said this is the last question, man, but this is going to be from your opinion, your perspective. What do you think about the Web3 NFT community right now? What's your feels? What's going on Twitter? How do you feel about what's going on out there?
It's a great question. My bubble, I love yeah. my bubble. I also just unfollowed everybody a month ago and just started refollowing people. So I'm very bubbled.
A lot of people are doing that, man. What's the reasoning for that? I saw four people do it.
Dog, it feels like you're taking a shower. It feels really? Like you're fucking, yes, it. Like, I don't know how many people you're following currently, but like
almost 5,000.
Yeah. Yo, bro. Like, like it, if you unfollow everybody and like, there's like an app, like it's like a Google Chrome extension you get and like, you just press a button and like, it does it real quick for you. Like, and like it, when I do it once a year, I do it fucking once a year. And then I go, and then I like follow everybody back who like I miss and like, and like some people will get salty and be like, yo, I can't believe you like unfollow me, but then I'll go follow them. Cause like, you know what I'm saying? Like, but it allows me to like, one, get a breath of fresh air of like, oh yeah, like I'm just in my little bubble. Like yeah. there's a whole nother world out there. Like, and so like the algorithm completely resets for you. And like, you start to see like, oh shit, like not everybody's tweeting about fucking, you know, like whatever the hot topic on crypto Twitter is that day. Right. Yeah. Like, and so it was really refreshing, but like right now, like the state of the market, man, like, look, for all the terribleness of everybody's bags are down, I've been through 5 crypto winters already, right? Since like I had all my Bitcoin, right? And like, I've seen this shit go up. I've seen this shit go down over and over and over again. And I will tell you that like, I'm not stressed at all about it. And I think that like the majority of the sentiment of people that are stressed haven't experienced crypto winter. Yeah. Like this is their first one. And so it's like, all they're fixated on is their bags currently. When the reality is like, bruh, if you were buying NFTs like last year in order to like get like incredibly rich today, like you're not playing crypto correctly. Like yeah. it's a 10-year fucking game. Think about like the, like if you leave anything from this topic, like, or this like discussion besides, you know, creators are minting on the 8th. Like the other thing I would take away is like, if I didn't sell my Bitcoin, I would be a 100 millionaire right now. Like, think about that. Like, that's just 10 years later.
Yeah. That's,
you know what I'm saying? And so like,
you wouldn't be on here with me, huh?
Bruh, I don't even know what the fuck I would be doing, but all I'm saying is you have to play a long game in crypto. You have to. If you don't, then like, you're just like, you're going to drive yourself fucking crazy. So like for me, the sentiment right now, it's really easy to get like caught up in like the like, oh, we're all down and like, oh shit. The real truth of the matter is that everybody who's here is here for the right reasons. Yeah. Everybody who's here believes that this shit is going to go back up or they wouldn't be here, you know? And like, that's a beautiful place to be, because you at least know the people that you're connecting with share the same values, share the same vision, share the same mission. So it's, I really like it, man. I really like it. Obviously, like, it sucks, like, with all this, like, shit with, like, you know, fucking, you know, the exploits and you know, but that shit's been happening for fucking years. Like it's, there's nothing new. And every technology, that shit's going to happen. Like, so, like, yeah, I'm just, like, head down building dope shit, like, with the people that I fucks with. And, like, if I just continue to do that, I'm going to be in a happy place.
Yeah. No, I completely agree, man. And I just want to say too, man, like, I never, you know, I think you know this, man. I jumped into NFTs, like straight into NFTs. I'd never been through the crypto winters or anything like that. So this is my first real winter.
Bro, you know you're in the thick of it right now.
Oh, dude, it's fucking, it's like, it's very interesting. You know what I mean? I'm learning a lot about it. You know what I mean? I'm learning a lot about the patterns that come with it, the pattern recognitions. The same thing kind of happens over and over again in the same ways. It's not the same ways. Same way, different type of beat. You know what I mean? And I'm glad I'm not like one of those people that really freaked out when everything just crashed out, because I'm not going to lie, dude. It fucking sucked to see. You know, I'm like, holy shit, dude. I used to be, my net worth used to be this. Now it's fucking this. You know what I mean? But I deep down in my heart, man, I knew this space was so revolutionary. It's going to help out so many people, especially, you know, the starving artists out there that don't have any recognition, that they have to fucking die to have their fucking work sell for millions, that, you know, and them not even enjoying it. And that's just one big thing of it. But yeah, man, I just feel like this space is inevitable. Everybody here that's working hard, it's going to fucking be something great in 5-10 years. And one thing that I fucking hate is that all of us that, you know, out there just fucking eating each other, you know what I mean? Fighting each other, arguing with each other, you know what I mean? We all have the same goals, somewhat the same goals, same kind of ethos, you know? We want crypto, we want NFTs, and we want Web3 to win, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it sucks that, you know, some people out there just, for me, it's just like cannibalism, you know what I mean? We're just fucking each other alive, you know what I mean? Even though I don't necessarily agree with what you're saying, what you're doing, doesn't mean I want you to fucking fail. You know what I mean? Yes. It's if one of us wins majorly in this space, dude, it's a win for all of us. It's a great example for us. But yeah, man. All right, man. That's all I have for you, man. But before we close this down, let everybody know mint date, price, how they can get more information about you, creators, and everything that you're doing, my man.
Dude, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for this. And let me see information. Mint day starts August 8th at 8 a.m. That's for like our passport holders. And then it continues on the 9th for a creators list. And then public sale, if anything's left, on the 10th. It's a pick your own price. So it's like 0.05 for an 8-month lockup, 0.1 for an 8-week lockup, and then 0.15 for no lockup. If you like decide you locked up and then you want to like unlock it, you can always just pay the difference. Like it's all good. We're setting that up just like make it really simple of like, yo, like, you know, pay what you want to hold for, right? Like if you believe, you get the discount. If you don't believe, like, and you're trying to flip it up. But like, yeah. And then other than that, like creators list, like just go to the creators, NFT, CRE8, however else you spell it. I don't fucking know how to spell it right now.
Yeah, I feel you, bro. Hey, man, again, man, thank you for hopping on the podcast, man. You've delivered so much value to me, my audience, and everybody, you know, out there on crypto Twitter that's about to listen to this, man. I hope you have a great rest of your day, brother.
Bro, the background, though. Let's go. The new
background. Hey, that's what's up, brother. Hey, I appreciate it, man. I'll be definitely showing this off more, man. It's going to be great, man. But again, man, appreciate you doing this. I'll be looking forward to everything that you guys are doing, my man.
I appreciate you, man.
All right, brother. Peace out.